Donald Trump's latest slew of tariffs on the auto industry, set to take effect on April 3rd, has rocked the globe. In India, though, the market's rebound continued, with Sensex gaining over 300 points. Clearly, Trump's tariff threat failed to spook them. Taking his America First agenda to new heights, Trump has intensified a global trade war, this time targeting car and car parts coming into the US. The move has threatened to upend global car trade and supply chains, leaving consumers to face the brunt of these tariffs, as car prices are expected to rise by $12,000.
But this is very exciting to me. This is the automobile industry, and this will continue to spur growth like you haven't seen. Before I was elected, we were losing all of our plants that were being built in Mexico and Canada and other places. Now those plants largely have stopped, and they're moving them to our country.
India will reportedly not be clubbed with China, Mexico and Canada. This is what U.S. trade officials told their counterparts in New Delhi. Suzanne Clark, president of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and Atul Kashyap, president of the U.S.-India Business Chambers, called on Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman in the capital today. Former Finance Minister P. Chidambaram raised the issue.
I am saying there are sane voices in the world. Canada, Britain, France, Germany, European Union, Japan. India must stand with the saner voices, the sane voices, and do everything, collective action, to prevent a tariff war and a trade war.
Mexico is the top supplier of cars to the US, followed by South Korea, Japan, Canada, and Germany. The move is likely to lead to temporary shutdown of the significant car productions in the US, increased prices and strained relations with allies. Donald Trump's tariffs have already rattled many of American allies, with Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney calling it a direct attack on Ottawa.
President Trump announced 25% tariffs against our auto industry. And this is a direct attack, to be clear, a direct attack on the very workers that I stood in front of, Unifor workers I stood in front of this morning at the Ambassador Bridge.
Japan calling the move regrettable and even questioning it, given Japan's large investments into the U.S.
要は何が日本国の国益に一番資するものかということを考えていかなければなりません。私どもとしてこの25%というものを日本に適用しない、そのようなことを強く要請をしておることでございます。あらゆる選択肢はございます。その中で
Meanwhile, Europe has vowed to respond to Trump's tariffs, calling them bad for businesses and an attack on consumers.
Remember, for India, will impact the auto component makers the most. Remember, 27% of overall auto component exports go to the US. So this really is significant. So all auto component makers really and auto part makers really are likely to be hit.
This comes amid Trump's 10% tariffs on China, which was subsequently increased to 20%, and 25% tariffs on Mexico and Canada that he announced on February 1st. China, Canada and Mexico also responded with their own set of tariffs.
贸易战、关税战没有赢家，没有哪个国家的发展繁荣是靠加征关税实现的。美方的做法违反世贸组织规则，损害以规则为基础的多边贸易体制和各国人民的共同利益，也无异于解决自身的问题。
Automaker stocks around the world slumped.
Die Ankündigung von Zöllen auf aus Europa in die USA produzierten Autos oder Zulieferteile ist ein schwerer Rückschlag für den freien und regelbasierten Handel.
Meanwhile, India is mulling extensive duty cuts for various items amid the looming threat of reciprocal tariffs from US. The question is, will India emerge relatively unscathed from Trump's tariff war threat? Bureau report for NDTV.
And joining me now is former Finance Minister, Mr. P. Chidambaram. Mr. Chidambaram, really appreciate your time here on NDTV. You have alleged, sir, that there is no policy of the Government of India on the tariffs.
But in a volatile situation like what we are seeing at present, where the American stand is not really clear, the new administration is taking one step forward and two steps backward, then how should, or do you think it's expecting too much from any government to really spell out its policy?
If the Indian government's perception is that America is taking one step forward and two step backwards, it must have a policy to counteract that. I mean, it can't be in uncertainty. Of course, Americans are uncertain. Let's assume so. But you must have alternative scenarios. What if they do one step forward? What is our response? What if they do two steps backward? What is our response? And that response need not be made public to the whole world, but at least there must be a statement in Parliament, or there must be a consultation with opposition parties. We are completely in the dark. In fact, my information is most ministers are in the dark. Who is involved in making this reactive policy to America's uncertain policy? I don't know. Nobody seems to know.
But Mr. Chidambaram, is your charge that this there's no discussion to this policy? You know, do you think the government or do you think the government is taking unilateral discussions or unilateral decisions with regards to tariff reductions?
I think the government is taking sort of impromptu, unilateral, knee-jerk decisions. For example, in the budget speech, they got rid of the 2% tax. Day before yesterday, the finance minister announced that the 6% digital service tax, popularly known as the Google tax, will go. Now, what more are they going to concede to Mr. Trump? If you don't wish to have a public discussion in Parliament, then you should at least invite the principal opposition parties, the half a dozen parties which are represented in Parliament. They are leaders, and you must take the leaders into confidence of what alternative scenarios are being worked out. We can't be faced with a fait accompli. A decision is taken by government and it is revealed to us. And what do we react after that?
So you are of the opinion that the government of India should come up with a policy and discuss also with the parliamentarians. And why do you say that there are ministers who are in the dark about the policy?
Yes, I maintain that. I think at the moment only the External Affairs Minister and perhaps the Commerce Minister, who went on a delegation to the US, are privy to what is going on. Mm-hmm. I don't think other ministers know. I'm sure the Agriculture Minister does not know. I'm sure the Industries Minister does not know. But they are making concessions. I don't know. Are you making concessions on agriculture? Are you making concessions on industrial goods? Are you making concessions on intellectual property? I don't think anybody knows.
Okay, sir, you have advocated that India should join a club of saner voices like Canada, Britain, France, Germany and Japan, that there should be some kind of collective which should be formed to prevent a tariff and trade war. But each country will be putting its own interest first. Then why shouldn't India champion its own cause?
We should put our interest first, but all the countries which I have named and which you repeated are finding common ground. The common ground is unilateral tariffs imposed by the United States is unacceptable. There are WTO rules, there are multilateral and bilateral trade agreements. There are international laws and conventions. So if you want to rewrite the tariffs of several countries, you must hold a discussion. This is what Prime Minister Mark Carney of Canada is doing. He he has taken his parliament into confidence, at least the leaders into confidence, and he says we will coordinate with the European countries and respond to Mr. Trump's unilateral tariffs. Now, I'm sure the oil-producing countries are also coordinating among themselves. We are a major agricultural exporter. We are a major textile exporter. We also export a lot of industrial goods. So we must band together countries which are in the world market for agricultural exports, textile exports, and industrial goods exports, and evolve a common approach. You see, if he picks one country at a time and imposes tariffs, it will ruin the economy of that country. Suppose he picks India and he leaves other countries out. Suppose President Trump picks India and says, these are the tariffs from on goods exported from India. We'll be ruined in a matter of 3 to 6 months. Our economy will be ruined.
Okay.
I'm afraid Mr. Trump is not going to group all the countries together and impose universal tariffs. He is giving a number for each country, what they have calculated, I'm told, calculated as the average weighted trade weighted tariff. And he is going to pick out one by one and force them to surrender. If he does that, and if he picks India, other countries will say, we have not been picked up. So unless you take action to forestall such picking out countries and imposing tariffs, you'll be left high and dry after the first attack.
Okay, but Mr. Chidambaram, the argument can also be, how will this collective really help? Because every country will have its own set of reciprocal tariffs. Because as US has been saying, that India won't be clubbed with China and Canada on tariffs.
Of course, it'll be own set of tariffs. But on agriculture, on textiles, on specific goods, there is commonality among several countries. We are not importing several American goods because we think it will completely destroy domestic producers. We are particularly careful about agricultural imports, and we are careful about some other things. But the government has unilaterally conceded passenger cars, goods transport vehicles, motorcycles, cycles, toys. Now, there are other countries also which produce cars, Japan, for example, Korea, for example. There are other countries which produce cycles and toys, China, for example. Therefore, we must form a common pool of countries which will be affected and put forward our collective action, our collective response. Not that I'm sanguine that we can have a collective response on every item, on all countries will join. But at least we must make an effort. No, I don't see such an effort has been made. It seems to be bilateral. An Indian delegation holds secret talks with America and makes one concession after another. It is relayed back to India, and the decision makers in India take some decision and convey it to the negotiators. They make one concession after another, but nobody seems to be wiser what is the end of the road for these concessions.
Okay, all right. Mr. P. Chidambaram, pleasure having you on the show tonight, sir. Thank you so much for your time. We have William Boyter joining us. He's an independent economic advisor and former professor of economics. We also have Nasser Salim, managing director at Flexi Capital. He's a former banker and investment expert. I'm going to begin with you, Mr. Boyter. You know, it's almost like a global trade war which is looming large as April 2nd deadline approaches. Is a group or a collective the best way forward, or should it be the way India is looking at it, one step at a time, having hectic parleys with the U.S. administration, looking at India's interests first?
Well, it undoubtedly would strengthen ability to counter U.S. tariffs if there were a collective response. But this is, I think, not terribly likely politically. In India will undoubtedly, I think, end up engaged in bilateral negotiations with the U.S. to see to what extent it can prevent the U.S. from raising tariffs on Indian exports to the U.S. in exchange for India cutting existing tariffs on imports from the U.S. I think that's the way we're likely to go. If we're lucky, it will globally, I mean, we will end up with lower tariffs way around. If we're unlucky, both India and the U.S. will end up raising taxes on each other.
Nasser, the question here is, how can this entire process be fast-tracked? Is the strength in joining the group of nations which are collectively protesting, or is the strength in using back-channel negotiations, looking at your own policies, and which at the moment certainly doesn't have much clarity because the government, of course, it's a fluid situation, it's a developing situation, volatile situation, whatever word you may wish to use. But the government is being careful. So that's the reason why they're waiting for the deadline, and then perhaps we'll get more clarity.
No, I think we'll know on April the 2nd whether the U.S. will actually impose the wide-ranging tariffs it has announced, and in fact, the additional tariffs slightly later on car imports, car parts and all that. But again, a collective response is more effective if the collectivity really hangs together and can agree on a common approach.
Okay. So collective approach is what you're saying. Nasser, what are your thoughts?
Beg your pardon?
That's the question to the second panelist, Mr. Behta.
All right. Mm-hmm.
You have to unmute yourself. Nasser, you have to unmute yourself. Thank you.
Yeah, good evening, Maria. Thank you so much for having me on your show. You know, very pertinent and important question. I can tell you, can assure you, impacting the capital markets all throughout the last few days. But I think, you know, there is no quick fix solution to it. I think one of the few things that we feel independently is that there was and there should be a discussion around FTA corridor. There are certain economies of scale that can be achieved, Maria, in our opinion, where certain sectors where both economies work on reciprocal taxes in the sense to ensure that both economies don't hurt their smaller players. There is something called in economics called the infant industry case, where you protect, you know, those sectors which are yet to be competitive at a global platform. My opinion is strictly that those need to be protected. There are enough opportunities within two economies to work bilaterally to support each other. And I think an FTA corridor perhaps could be one of the stepping stones. I think a discussion on those lines can be a welcome step, in my opinion, Maria, because let's not forget that if you look at reciprocal taxes without any headway, you will end up importing inflation, which I'm sure, leave alone India, I can tell you with the $32 trillion debt that the U.S. is sitting on, it can't afford to have inflation being imported. If you have reciprocal taxes, it will hurt the U.S. more, in our opinion. You've seen latest consumer reports coming out of both FedEx, Walmart, and some of the other larger names like Nike, where they've mentioned out to the U.S. government, the earnings guidance are looking very poor. And I think something like an aggressive taxation import tariff will only ensure that reciprocity takes over and will hurt the U.S. more severely than anybody else. So in our opinion, I think a stepping stone working on an FTA corridor and deciding on sectors where both economies can flourish and can sustain and transfer benefits to each other to improve and come out of the current situation. The U.S. needs revenue under any circumstances, Maria. Hmm. I think it's a clear indication. Mr. Trump, POTUS will use every angle to negotiate, whether it's through Trump tariffs or it's any other impact that he might want to bring in. These are, in our opinion, initial negotiation tactics.
Nasser, the point here is that India and U.S. are engaged in what is being said by the External Affairs Ministry as active and intense negotiations on trade deal. And the Trump administration has shown it is more open for forging a stronger partnership with New Delhi, is what Dr. S. Jaishankar has said. There is a significant churn which the world awaits post 2nd of April. This churn, we do not know the nature of this churn, how it will be, whether this paradigm shift will benefit which country, we do not know. But one thing is clear, that the world is going to change forever. But and that change is being triggered by none other than Donald Trump himself.
Well, no doubt, Maria. I think, one of the few things that we've, in discussions between a lot of, people who track the markets have also been saying this, is that, you can't run an economy like you're on a corporate. So, clearly, I think that message has reached POTUS. It is clear that you can't run an economy like a corporate. You have to understand that there is balance of trades. There are social responsibilities. There are corporate responsibilities. And you have to ensure that there is a balance that needs to be maintained between each of them. And while the world awaits, I'm sure and I'm very positive that these are only tactics that are being used by the U.S. president and by the administration to see how they can mop up their revenue. And in my opinion, there are enough sectors that they can work on. And, I agree with my fellow panelists, and before this, when you had the former finance minister, to say that there are certain sectors that can be looked at more importantly to see if there is mutual benefit, right? For example, if automobiles could be one of those sectors, pharmaceutical, for example, is another sector where, India and the U.S. work very closely. There is a lot of support on IT and IT and allied services that India supports to the U.S. Now, imagine if you take away those and if you impose tariffs on those, what will that cause in terms of the revenue impact it has on U.S. balance sheets and IT companies?
That's right.
So, look, it's not so simple. I mean, the point is very, very clear that at the start of it, we felt that the president was trying to use this as a negotiation and a tactic to come on the table and start discussing this. I think now with the Honorable External Affairs Minister saying what you've just mentioned, it is the fact that they're saying that the U.S. is open to negotiations. So from a hard hitting impact to saying that, listen, I'm introducing tariffs all out against everyone. And he also said this in the White House, at the Oval House, saying that Oval Office, saying that, India looks at 100% imports on cars. To that statement to now, to saying that we are open to discussions, I think is a welcome step.
Yes.
And I'm sure that the whole world will come together and address some of these issues together.
All right. We have really come to the end of this discussion. William Bitter and Nasser Salim, really appreciate your time. Of course, we are looking at that 2nd of April deadline. That's where the entire process kicks in, and it's only 5 days to go for that. So thank you so much for your time here. That's all from me on this edition of Left, Right and Center. Thanks so much for watching.